Hey, it's good to see you all. I want you to imagine you're wearing shoes with like little cleats sticking out of the bottom. They're a little wet from the grass, a little wet, a little cold from the dew that's on the grass, and a ball rolls toward you. Or you're on a stage kind of like this. You can see that there's faces, but they're dim. You can't really make them out because there's bright light shining on you. Someone puts a guitar over your shoulder, and the room quiets, listening to you. How does that feel? We'll ask two people. Ronaldinho says, football is freedom, joy, and creativity. It's like Ronaldinho, the Brazilian soccer star, like isn't as human as he is until he has a soccer ball. Then he comes alive. I had a friend. He kept a guitar pick in his wallet, and I was more wondering why it's in the wallet, but he answered why he always has a guitar pick. He says, just in case there's a guitar that begs to be played. I don't know how guitars treat you, but most of us, they don't beg us to play. I coach 10 to 14-year-old girls, and sometimes I see it all the time, but sometimes they outright tell me about their fears, their nervousness. This ball rolling towards them is like impending judgment. They are afraid of the ball. They're afraid of the other team. They're afraid of what they're going to do and the mistakes they're going to make and the criticism they're going to get from their parents or maybe even from their coach. You might be someone that says, no one wants to hear me sing. And while that might be true, maybe we might find reasons to sing today. We're going to talk about fear, and it's real. We're going to be in Psalm 124 today. That's our text, a song for the traveling Israelites on their way to Jerusalem. And before we dive into God's word, let's pray together. Lord God, we're thankful for all that you're doing in this world, in your kingdom, for the things that we've even heard about today, God. As we spend this valuable time in your word, Lord, we ask you to do a work in our souls. God, make us unafraid. Give us a song worth singing, a life worth living. Help us to take ownership of that because you are who you are, and we are just who we are, God. Help us to live in light of your salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before we set out, we'll do a quick look at Bible translation. I've read this text, I'd say, at least 30 times this week in 5 translations. And our title, which I will hope will be memorable, is repeated in the first and second verse. In Hebrew, it's 4 words. Literally, not Jehovah who was with us. If you put this in the ESV, they translated it as, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, which keeps the sequence of the Hebrew words. In the CSB, there's a lower word count. It's more concise. It says, if the Lord had not been on our side. The meaning is kept. The language, I believe, is clarified. And since we're not going to read this 20 times today, we will read this text in the Christian Standard Bible translation. I invite you to read it in the translation of your choice, and with the hope that God's word is clear to us today. So this is Psalm 124. A song of ascents of David. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. Then the water would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging water would have swept over us. Blessed be the Lord who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the hunter's net. The net is torn and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. All right. If verse 8 sounds familiar, you've seen that before. It's Psalm 121, verse 2. It's the second psalm of ascents. And then in the following Psalm 123, verse 1, it echoes verse 1 of Psalm 121. I said that fast, but Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 appear in 123 at the beginning and 124 at the end. This echoes the idea of these songs of ascent, that life is an uphill, upward looking towards God, walk of faith. Life is an uphill walk of faith, and it means moving forward in spite of fear. Our psalm begins with two notes. One telling us that this is the fifth psalm, tagged as a song of ascents, and also that it is written by King David. In the first verses, it calls us to remember our salvation, not my salvation or your salvation, our salvation. And we're getting into an overall song that's a little bit strange, we'll get to, and it starts with a beginning that is strange. This happens a few times in the Psalms, but it's like there's a line that isn't actual poetry. It's a break from the poetry where it says, "Let Israel say." You can probably think of a song whose lyrics shouldn't be uttered in church, where there's a hype man that's sort of like singing over the song. That's a little bit like what David is doing here. He's interrupting and repeating, "Let Israel say." David writes in this call to his people, to all of Israel, to participate. Dave Grohl is a millionaire rock star. He was a drummer in Nirvana and the lead singer of Foo Fighters. And he writes some interesting stuff about the love of music. He wrote once that people don't enjoy music as they used to. I found that article interesting, that like the way we judge music, the way we have to listen to the best music, reduces our ability to be people who make and enjoy music. And he wrote an article in The Atlantic during the pandemic about the return of live music. He quotes Bruce Springsteen, "When you look out at the audience, you should see yourself in them just as they see themselves in you." And Dave Grohl continues, "Without that audience, that screaming, sweating audience, my songs would only be sound. But together, we are instruments in a sonic cathedral, one that we build together night after night." I don't know if I would call a Foo Fighter concert a cathedral, but I will say that music is an international language, and it's always been a part of God's people. Songwriting and singing those songs together grows us together as we remember the Lord together. This is a song written by David, and he wrote it for all of God's people. Let all of Israel say it together. Like Springsteen and like the Foo Fighters, David wrote several songs. This is just one of them, Psalm 124. But David doesn't use his own victories and experiences to achieve songwriting fame. If anyone in the Bible could write good autobiographical songs, it might be David. He could have written a full album about his fearless life. "If the Lord had not been on my side, Goliath would have slaughtered me in front of my whole country. We would all have been enslaved. If God had not been on my side, Saul would have pinned me to the wall with a javelin, or his armies would have found me cowering in a cave." David has these songs that he could have sung. But this is a song for all of Israel, and it has nothing to do with him. It uses we language, we, our God, our salvation, for us. It's not remember David or remember me. The call is to remember what God did for us. The Lord was on our side. Remember our salvation. And what follows, what all of Israel needs to remember and know and sing, are terrifying details about their past. If anyone wants some fresh mental health life hacks, I believe we get one today. It's 3,000 years old, but I believe it's better than whatever you kids are watching on your Instacarts or on your clickety-clocks. What might it do for us as a church if we took time to reflect on all of the things we used to be afraid of that God saved us from? What would it do if we reflected on our past fears? Might it make us less anxious? Might it make us more bold in our faith? Why is it that you ruminate and sit in your fears of the future, but when those fears pass, they just disappear from your memory? As you think about that, let's continue looking at this strange song that recounts graphically how a whole civilization could have been wiped out had the Lord not been on their side. In these verses, David talks about an angry people that seeks to devour them. He speaks about raging and torrential water that would have drowned them, which is interesting because Israel is in the hill country. And later on, the verses talk about a hunter seeking to trap people and ensnare them, but they find escape and they fly free. This is the heart of the song, something like a chorus, and it sticks your nose in fear of death and destruction. It's a strange song. To Israelite ears, this would have taken them to one place, sort of like the Sunday school answer is always Jesus. I feel like in Hebrew school, the answer might always be Moses. This takes them right to Exodus 14. You can turn to Exodus 14 if you'd like in your Bible. We all know people who worry about the future, but consider how they look at the past. Many fearful people have a selective memory, highlighting the times that they were right, how they saved the day, how everyone counted on them to do everything right. But when they look to the future, paralyzed by their inability to control every circumstance, they become afraid. And when they're frozen in fear, they aren't remembering, they aren't worshiping, and they're struggling to move forward in faith. This song is written by a fearless king calling a fearful nation to trust God. David says, come on, everyone, let's all sing this together, a song about our fears. God's ways are better and more effective than man's ways. And God can help you overcome fear, not towards self-actualization or inner peace, but from fear to faith. God wants you. His bonds to you are built on faith and trust. And I want us to build those bonds with God today. But to do that, we need to remember what David wanted Israel to remember in Exodus 14. My heart wants me to read the whole chapter, but in interest of time, we'll try to summarize it. What it might surprise you if you remember the account of Moses, if you've watched the Ten Commandments, what might surprise you in reading the text is how it centers on fear and how it centers on the power of Pharaoh's army and the power of the water. This is a story about God, the maker of heaven and earth, and he's on the side of a fearful people. In the beginning, God sets them up. He says, you have to camp by Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. And he puts them in this place where they're pinned against the sea, and then he hardens Pharaoh's heart like the other piece of a sandwich to trap them. God sets his people up. Pharaoh says, why did we let those slaves go? We need them. We wanted to control them. We wanted to own them and use them. So let us set all our chariots out to rule them again or to kill them. Let's read from verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us here? Is it not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Moses says, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work out for you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only be silent." God continues, and he says, "I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his horse, his chariots, and his horsemen." The language that God uses is thorough and encompassing over all of our enemies, over all of God's people's enemies. God will get glory for himself. They are trying to hurt and harm his precious people, and he's not going to let that happen. It points out that the Lord, who made the sea and the dry land, he divided the land from the water. The Egyptians came and pursued. Their chariot wheels got stuck in the same place where the Israelites were able to pass and walk smoothly on dry land. God doesn't just provide salvation for his people, but he gives them comfort. And those torrential waters pour over and cover up this army of people that seek to devour God's people. What a memory to have in your family history. But if I was writing it, I would have left out some of the embarrassing parts where God's people sort of looked like cowards. I might not repeat over and over how God did everything. Everything was what God did. He proved himself faithful to save Israel from their murderous overlords. Psalm 124 doesn't go light on those details. It puts it right in your face. It focuses on them. It brings you back into the terror of the memory, how some Israelites would have begged to be slaves to the Egyptians instead of walking by faith, how the tremendous power of the water and the power of God was something that people had no control of. This song invites God's people to remember their own powerlessness and God's power to save. This is an interesting song. It's weird. It's a strange song. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been devoured. We would have drowned. We would have been captured. Do you ever think back on your fears? Do you ever sing about them? God's word is doing something that should give you pause. These moments make you wonder if God hasn't figured out how smart we are yet, or there may be very good reason for why we have this psalm. If you worry about the future, this song is for you. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would not have been saved. This may or may not describe your fears exactly, but consider that fear is forgetful. Fear has a selective long-term memory, or in other words, your fears lie to you. Fear is often faithless or godless. This type of fear tells you to trust in yourself alone to save and deliver and rescue yourself. If all the important stuff of life depended on me, I would be scared too. But I have a God. My God created the heaven and the earth. What has your God done? If your God has provided victory over death, if your God heals the sick, if your God knows tomorrow, if your God reigns and is coming to save you, then ought we to do what he gently instructs us to do when he says, "Do not be afraid and follow me"? Let us choose to stop walking in circles of fear and doubt and anxiety and remember what is true together. This is a song for us to sing together and a life of faith to walk together. This is an invitation to get in the game, to lift up your voice, to get off the bench and play, to stand up and sing with us. It's like swimming in a lake. Come on in, the water's warm. God is like a father standing on the muddy bottom of a creek, waist high, inviting a child to jump in. And the rest of the older kids are swimming and having a great time. But this kid does not want to jump in. And listen, God knows there's nothing to fear. God knows that child really has no reason that they should fear, but those fears are real. There's this invitation for this child. He's running, he's jogging, and then he halts to a stop. The thought of leaving this warm wooden platform and jumping into that cold water, what could happen? He could die. He's seeing that and feeling that. But God beckons him still. Come learn to swim. Come on in, child. Walking with God by faith is terrifying and unnatural, and it's spiritually impossible until you feel God by your side, until you remember that God is with you, he loves you, and he wants you walking by faith. It's not just some slogan you put on your wall. He commands you from his loving heart to face and overcome fear and to take real steps of faith in your life. We have all sorts of reasons why we might not move forward in faith, but for today, your forgetfulness of God's faithfulness will freeze you in fear when you should be walking by faith. Remember how God has saved you in the past, even when you were scared. Remember and reflect on and even sing about those fears and teach yourself that your forgetfulness of God's faithfulness will cause you to freeze in fear when God invites you to walk by faith. Do not let your fear stand in the way of faith. In 1 Samuel 17:37, King Saul was explaining to David from the king's seat why he ought not fight the giant. And David says, "The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Every 8-year-old kid fears lions and bears and giants, and David remembers who he was. He remembers his fears, and he says, "It was God who delivered me not only from those animals, but God who delivered me from my fears." David cultivated a heart deep, active faith. He cultivated real fearlessness, not putting on a face, not faking it until you make it. We're talking about going to God with your fears, remembering who God is and choosing to live daily, remembering God's continual salvation. If you want to cultivate fearlessness over time, don't let fear tell you what to remember. You intentionally remember how your fears misled you in the past and how God makes a way for his people always, and walk without fear. Verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the hunter's net. The net is torn and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." We can walk forward without fear with God as our helper. I hope that everyone had a great Easter. I hope amidst all the joy and the cute outfits and the Easter eggs and whatever you did, you didn't forget to remember Jesus Christ who died for you and rose so he can raise you. Everything is built upon that foundation. What a marvelous salvation that we have. Our enemies are so much greater than chariots and swords and drones and missiles. Our enemies are Satan and sin and death. And hallelujah, because of Jesus, those enemies are defeated. You have a choice on how you face your enemies. I'm hiding myself in the middle of God's people, claiming victory by faith in Jesus Christ, And that hiding in Christ is a first step towards fearlessness with a song of real freedom and a faith that is true. Your other choice is to face Satan, sin, and death on your own. And I beg you to do what I do and hide in the faithfulness of God. If you struggle with fear and anxiety, my concern is that God has something for you to hear today, and you will make an excuse not to hear it. You'll write it off. God says over and over, do not be afraid, and yet you might claim to value God's word while still being afraid. If we are a family, we've got to do something about that. We can't just say this large branch of the church struggles with fearfulness and anxiety, but that's just the way it is. We can't do that when God's word addresses fear almost continually. A soccer coach, Pep Guardiola, once said, "In football, the worst things are excuses. Excuses mean you cannot grow or move forward." I'm not here to make enemies, but I'm also not here to make friends. God has something to say to somebody, and that somebody might be you. I want you to stop living afraid, and I want you to live free. That task as outlined in Psalm 124 involves three things. You'll need to place your identity in God's salvation. That's who you are. You are a part of God's people being saved by your maker and helper. Your identity is in your salvation. Then you'll need to remember how your fears were relieved in the past. Think about your fears. Remember them. Maybe sing about them. And third, walk forward with your eyes on your Creator. If you commit to that, God may guide you to all sorts of next steps. They might involve your exercise, your diet, your relationship with your phone. I'm excited for you in that journey towards fearlessness, a journey where walking by faith. I want to know what those next steps are that you're going to take. We can't work them out today, but we need to see what's in Psalm 124. David writes his people a song about potentially terrible things, being slaughtered in battle, being drowned in a flood, and being captured. And he invites us to sing about these terrors and how these terrific and terrible huge things became wrapped up and devoured by the faithfulness of God. And again, this is not King David going on and on about his fearlessness. We know he loves to get there out there on the field. He's not afraid of public speaking or singing. David loves, he can be out front. He's one of those people that are just naturally fearless. He's not just calling out the top 20%. He is saying, for all of God's people, all of Israel, we all got to say this. Down to the least of us, we cannot live afraid. This is not who we are. Let all of Israel now say, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would not have been saved. Wake up from your selective, fearful memory and remember how faithful God has been. How has God proven himself faithful to you in times when you were afraid? How has God proven himself faithful to this church when some of us may have been afraid? There's a long story here that I haven't been around long enough to even tell you about how God has been faithful to us. In 1976, 84, 87, 2000, 2008, 2016, God's people took heart and boldly decided to move forward in faith. Likely some doubted. Likely some were afraid. But God, the maker of heaven and earth, has been, and he always will be, on our side. Someone here is going to say, my fear is different. And listen, it might be worse than kicking a soccer ball, and it might even be worse than an army of Egyptians and chariots coming to kill you. I'm not suggesting that singing a song will cure your anxiety or heal your trauma. But what God's word is telling you is the greatest thing you should be afraid of is not whatever you're thinking about. The greatest thing you ought to fear is your sin problem that you have with God and your unavoidable mortal death. There's nothing bigger than those things, and they have been defeated, and you have been saved, and you escape those things through Jesus Christ. You can grow in fearlessness, but it will not happen without faith and walking with God. There can be miracles along the road of your mental health journey, and there's no other way than to trust and obey God. David did not say, "Look at me and my fearlessness." He wrote a song to inspire his people. So remember God and his salvation. Remember how your fears have melted away, and walk together in faith. Let us hide ourselves within God's faithfulness and within God's people, because God always saves his people. Don't try to be like David and go on this mission of faith on your own. That terrifies me. I want to be with us, because God will deliver us. Our fears and anxieties can melt in the presence of God's love. And if we would just turn from our ways and consider the wisdom of God, we might discover that in walking with him. Here's some direct application. I'd like you to do this. Take time and write about your past fears. What have you been afraid of over the past 3 days, or the last 3 months, or the last 3 years? Maybe what have you been fearing your whole life? Write about them, and if you want extra credit, you can write a song about them. Intentionally remember the things that your fears want you to forget, because your fears are lying to you. Live by God's truth, which will invite you to faith. If you're not a songwriter, we can take care of that for you. Every week, we sing songs about God's faithfulness. And if you haven't joined in our Sonic Cathedral, I want you to consider the wisdom of what we do together. Singing together in worship is actively letting down your anxiety. It is active self-forgetfulness. It is choosing not to be afraid. It is choosing to identify myself with a God who has saved me and with the people that he has saved. Don't sing to be heard by anyone else but God, and don't sing for a reason other than to identify with the people who've been saved. We have something to sing about, and we ought to sing, all of us, especially the most fearful person in here. We need you to sing with us. I personally don't like sitting in the back of church, no knock on it, but I feel like I'm singing alone. I like to, when you're a couple rows up, my voice gets hidden in and swallowed up in the voices of those behind me. And I know I'm not alone singing that I've been saved by God. We are a people that seek to move forward in faith together. We sing of God's faithfulness together. And therefore, we must decide not to be ruled by fear. We ought to sing about it. We ought to walk together in faith. My brother, my sister, my friend, I know you're still afraid. I know you still have doubts, and the life is not simple. But we are a community with loving coaches who are going to walk alongside you through it. Sanctification and becoming fearless, it might take you 50 years, but we'll be together in it. But listen to me and hear me when I say this. It will not happen unless you make a decision to get off the bench. You've got to say, I am a person of faith. I'm joining these people. I'm going to move forward. I won't be captured and arrested by my fears anymore. God, I want you to teach me how to be a little less fearful than I was yesterday. Help me to walk by faith. And we'll walk alongside you, and we'll sing alongside you. But you got to get up, you got to get in the game, and you got to sing with us. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, our fears have been telling us lies. They have been advertising safety and salvation and peace, and they have given us none of those things, Lord God. You are the one that blesses us. You rescue us. Lord, help us to find our identity in the way that you have saved us and how you are always saving us. Give us a mind that is transformed and thinks about our fears in a way that honors you, God. Let those fears and lies be overwritten by your truth that gives a little pep in our step, that tells us that we can move uphill, that our heart rate can go up a little bit, and that's okay, because you are on our side. You've created the heavens and the earth. You've created us. You've saved us, and you have not let us down thus far, so we have a journey to walk, and we will do so with a little bit less fear, with a little bit more faith, if you're with us, God. And we believe that you're with us, so help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and worship together.